O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I deliberately let the reading we had today stand as it is the gospel reading of the day because it kind of follows on the Easter story. And although I don't intend speaking to that today because I want to carry on with the series we're doing, but I was really quite conscious this morning at the 9 o'clock service. I thought kind of Jesus was a bit rough on the disciples, really. I mean, here they were. I mean, if it was me there and in their circumstances, I'd be probably, you know, accepted the reality Jesus was gone. It was all over and done and dusted. Would I be on my own there? I think we'd feel that, wouldn't we? And Jesus says to them, he says, you know, basically said, how thick-brained are you? You haven't got it yet. And I think, oh my goodness me. I mean, it's fair enough to say that, I suppose. I mean, he had tried, what, for 3 years to explain it, and they still haven't got it. That's a bit of a worry, isn't it? How many years preaching have we got to listen to before we start? Anyway, we have been exploring in the sermon series that we've been doing what it means to be a servant. And this is not always going to be easy, and there will be difficulties. Servants, no matter how useful, godly, unselfish, admirable, they're all human. Like everyone else, they struggle with everyday problems and are vulnerable to the subtle dangers that can easily trip them up. And what I want us to do today, I want us to look at a little known Old Testament character who became the helper of the prophet Elisha. And the name of this guy was called Gehazi. And we find the story in 2 Kings. Put it in context, the times were hard, the nation of Israel was rapidly deteriorating with bad kings and politics, not much has changed, has it? And people became lost and confused. The prophets who did appear at the time, they were on their own. Elijah, a remarkably courageous prophet, was succeeded by Elisha, who has become known as a man of God. It was a title that he well deserved. And so we pick up the story in 2 Kings 4. One day Elisha went to Shunem, where an important woman lived, and she begged Elisha to stay and eat. So every time Elisha passed by, he stopped there to eat. And the woman said to her husband, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by our house all the time. Let's make a room on the roof and put a bed in the room for him. And we can put a table and a chair and a lampstand. Sounds like our wives, doesn't it? Organizing these things. And after And when he comes by, he can stay there. One day Elisha came to the woman's house, and after he went to his room and rested, he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman. And when the servant had called her, he stood in front of him. And Elisha had told the servant, now say to her, you have gone to all this trouble for us, what can I do for you? Do you want me to speak to the king or the commander of the army for you? And she answered, I live among my own people. Elisha said to Gehazi, but what can we do for her? And he answered, she has no son, and her husband is old. Then Elisha said to Gehazi, call her. When he called her, she stood in the doorway. Then Elisha said, about this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms. And the woman said, no, master, man of God, don't lie to me, your servant. But the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son at that time the next year, just as Elisha told him. Well, one could assume that that's all pretty good news, isn't it? I mean, it's sort of stuff to make you feel excited. I'm sure they were happy to have this child in their life. But this is only the beginning of a series of events Elisha is involved in. But I want us to think about a servant and see some of the common hazards that confront servants. And of course, by now you'll know that we're all called to be servants, so it is something that we all are confronted with. Working alongside Elisha may have been great, but it brought temptations. The first is seen in 2 Kings 4:18. Now, this miracle child God has given this couple grows up and was working in the fields, and he gets sunstroke, dies. And the mother, she takes off and goes and sends for Elisha. When the prophet sees her coming, he recognizes her, but the servant have a tendency to kind of overreact or overcorrect. So we read, and when she came to Elisha, and she grabbed his feet And Gehazi came near to pull her away, but Elisha said to him, "Leave her alone. She's very upset, and the Lord hasn't told me about it. He has hidden it from me." And she said, "Master, did I ask you for a son? Didn't I tell you not to lie to me?" Can you hear that kind of the anger that was sort of kind of cooked up here? She was pretty distressed, and understandably so. Now, Gehazi is protective of Elisha, so when this anxious mother arrives, he pushes her away. It is so easy for those with servant hearts to get tunnel vision and miss the needs of others other than what's their focus. We must be careful of possessiveness. Elisha tells Gehazi to take his staff and to run to where the boy is and lay my staff on the lad's face. But the mother is kind of a bit smart, I think, because she decides, well, Gehazi's gone, but actually I won't have Elisha there. So she stays with Elisha, so they all go. You see, Elisha has a plan to heal the boy, and this included Gehazi. And to be sure, Gehazi was into this. I mean, he would be excited that God was going to do something pretty dramatic, and he was going to be the means by happening a miracle. But nothing happens. Nothing changed. And then Elisha bursts in on the scene. And the miracle happens, and who gets to tell Mum? Gehazi. Now, for a moment, just feel for the servant. He had done as he'd been told, and nothing happened. No miracle. And then comes Elisha, who did it. Poor Gehazi. He's missed out. And it just keeps happening. A famine has struck, and Gehazi is told to whip up a pot of stew. Inadvertently, a poisonous plant gets popped into the pot, and everybody screams. But when Elisha steps in, he says, "Bring flour." And he threw it into the pot, and then he says, "Pour it out for the people that they may eat." And then there was no harm in the pot. It's a bit dramatic, isn't it? You see, Gehazi has done all this work, but Elisha gets the credit. The servant can't even make a stew, for crying out loud. Now, how frustrating is that? The embarrassment is added to Gehazi's frustration. He's always second place to the prophet. And so it is with servants today. It is so easy to feel used and unappreciated. You work faithfully and diligently, yet the glory goes to another. Your efforts make someone else successful. How easy it is to feel resentful. All the members of "I work hard, but because I'm not up front, I never get the credit club" take heart. Our God, who rewards in secret, will never overlook your commitment. The writer of the Hebrews says, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints." Good news, isn't it? It's a good verse for those who feel used and unappreciated. So what happens? Well, there's this man named Naaman, a high-ranking Syrian soldier. He is influential, wealthy, proud, a man of dignity, courage, patriotism, and military clout. But he had leprosy. And he's led to Elisha for healing. And when he arrives at Elisha's door, you guess that it's Gehazi who opens it. Which might be okay, you think. His trusted servant. But he has to tell the Syrian officer something that he didn't want to hear. And is offended and is angry. And Gehazi gets caught in the crossfire. And the poor man didn't make the news. He just communicated. And boom, it all goes everywhere. This is the most unpopular dilemma facing someone with the truth that they do not want to hear. The result, verbal blows and disrespect and resentment. As servants of God, we may be called upon to be confronted or speak the truth that no one wants to hear. But the servant will say it graciously and accurately. And sometimes when the lid blows off, they get caught in the crossfire. In 2 Timothy, we are told how to react. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. This is good, but it's not easy, but it's good. As servants, we are not to quarrel, but be kind. Not irritated, but patient, even when wronged. not angry, but gentle. God may be using your words to help the hearers come to their senses, which may sound very noble, but believe me, at least in my experience, it really is nothing to write home about. Gehazi needed to hear this when Naaman throws a tizzy fit. And Naaman, what does he do? What he does precisely as he's told. And he goes off and he gets healed. Gratefully, he returned to thank Elisha and Gehazi and offers a sizable gift of gratitude. Elisha says, "Thank you, but no thanks." But that's not the end of the story. Deep within the servant crouched a silent beast, not uncommon among servants. And what does Gehazi do? He goes after Naaman. And this is the fourth hazard for a servant: greed. Wanting to be rewarded, applauded, and exalted. Elisha said no. No way did he want the soldier ever to say he did it for what he could get out of it. But Gehazi saw it differently. Maybe he felt used and unappreciated, or perhaps he'd just had enough of just getting by on a shoestring. He goes after Naaman. He lied to Naaman and attempted to cover his tracks when later he stood before his master. Listen to the tragic ending. When he came in and stood before his master, Elisha said to him, "And where have you been, Gehazi?" "I didn't go anywhere," he answered. But Elisha said to him, "My spirit was with you. I knew when the man turned from his chariot to meet you. This isn't the time to take money and clothes, olives, grapes, sheep, oxen, male servants, or female servants. So Naaman's skin disease will come on you and your children forever." And when Gehazi left Elisha, he had the disease and was white as snow. Exposed and sternly judged. We might say, a bit harsh. Gehazi experienced a horrible punishment. He had not only gone against the decision of the prophet, he had lied to him when confronted with his actions. The servant was accountable. Accountability is essential in order for any servant to remain true and usable in the hand of God. So from the life of Gehazi, we discover four common hazards of a servant. Firstly, being overprotective and possessive of the one he served. Secondly, feeling used and unappreciated. Thirdly, experiencing undeserved disrespect and resentment. And fourth, having a hidden greed, desiring to be rewarded. From these very real common struggles, there are at least three lessons to remember, each one of us. One, no servant is completely safe. Those who give and give may become increasingly vulnerable, getting ripped off, feeling used and unappreciated. But knowing this will help us handle it when it comes. No servant is completely safe. We need each other to keep each other strong. Secondly, most deeds will at first go unrewarded. And thirdly, all motives must be honestly searched. You and I are all called to be servants. Servants of one another, servants in our home, in our workplace, in our recreation, our community, wherever we find ourselves. This is good, but watch for the hazards and keep it close in with Jesus. His Spirit will give you the resources you need to do the task and avoid the hazards. That's what he died for. It is what he promises to give by his resurrection. And what we receive when the Holy Spirit comes and empowers our lives for service. Lord Jesus, we hear this call to be servants and we see the warnings. We pray that you would help us to stay close to you. That as we serve you in our homes and our work and our recreation and our communities, wherever in life we find ourselves, we would live obediently to you, that we would hang close with you, that we would be true to our motives, that we would support one another, that we would be accountable to one another. That, Lord, nothing would distract people from hearing your name. And, Lord, we would make ourselves willingly available to you to use for the building of your kingdom in this place, for building your church in whatever way you'd want us. We'd be tools in your hands. That we want to be sharp tools, we want to be reliable tools, we want to be doing the task that you have given us fully. We want our lives to mark the resurrection and point people to hope and certainty. And we see that this is the direction as servants, as disciples, we are to follow. So give us that will, give us that power, that we would be faithfully yours in all that we do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.